You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, Ricardo Gonçalves here with SBS On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Thursday, the 10th of December 2020. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Bit of an interesting day in finance today. We saw negative rates for government debt, an iron ore price which continues to surge, and the Australian share market snapping its seven-day winning streak. The S&P ASX 200 down 0.7% today. 6683 is where it finished, slipping from a nine-month high. Technology stocks led the declines. Appen down 12.4% and a profit warning. And it also follows news in the US where officials are trying to get Facebook to sell their Instagram and WhatsApp businesses. Elsewhere on the market here, gold miners fell as the price of gold declined. The major banks were mixed, but Fortescue Metals led the gains up 3.3% as the price of iron ore continued to rise. So for more on all of that, I spoke earlier with James Wright. He is the Chief Investment Officer at Sayers. James, the share market is down today. Why?
Yeah, look, Ricardo, the market's off about 0.75%. I think it's a little bit of profit-taking. We've seen a little bit of news in the US where they're still struggling to come up with a new stimulus package. And today in our market, we've seen some downgrades. We saw a very nasty downgrade in Appen. The stock earnings downgrade about 15%. Stock's down about 10%. So I think that we've had a very strong run through November, early December. And so the market, I think it's just taking a little bit of a pause.
You mentioned Appen there. We've seen a bit of a pullback from the technology sector today. What do you make of it, given that it was one of the stars in 2020?
Look, it's had a terrific run, really from the lows in March, all of the big caps. And we've seen a lot of money going into the small cap technology companies as well. Since the economy has started to come out of the sort of COVID shutdown and the stimulus packages and the vaccine, now we're starting to see a bit of a rotation back into value and small caps. So some of those tech players, it's all about profit taking and moving into some of the other sectors that have really lagged the rally up. I'm not quite sure how long that will last. Sort of feels like that will run out reasonably quickly. But for now, those value companies and those small cap companies are sort of taking some of the money away from those big large cap tech companies.
Can we talk about iron ore? What's your take on its strength and where it goes to next?
Yeah, look, it's been an extraordinary run in iron ore share price, $150 a ton. You've got to put this into context. It costs Fortescue, Rio, BHP around $12 to $15 a ton to get it out of the ground and about $10 or so dollars to ship it to China. So they're making huge amounts of profit. So why has the iron ore price been up this year? Really two things. One, the China stimulus package and China coming out of its COVID slowdown from the early parts of the year, but also supply problems from Brazil. So Vale, the largest iron ore producer from Brazil, had a nasty accident in January 2019 and really has been struggling to ramp up production since that point. So with the stronger demand from China and the lack of supply coming out of Brazil, our iron ore prices have been very, very strong.
Today we saw around $500 million worth of government debt sold at negative interest rates, right? So what does this say about the state of the market, where we are at? And is this going to be a new trend? Because a lot of the world's government debt is being sold at negative rates, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It's extraordinary to think that you're borrowing money from the government, but you're paying for the privilege. It's quite extraordinary. We had $1.5 billion of three-month paper issued today by the Commonwealth, and a percentage of that actually did go at negative yields. With the cash rate so low, it's not that surprising that from time to time we might see some short-term notes go at negative yields. But overall, I think that the Reserve Bank has said it really doesn't want to see a negative cash rate. It really doesn't want to drive the bonds in a negative territory. So I think this is more just around the edges, but it is an incredible day.
We're approaching the end of the year, and given the market's stellar run following that sell-off during the pandemic, how would you say shares have recovered over the year?
Yeah, look, we've come a long way. From the highs on the 20th of February, the market fell 36% in a record time and has put on something in the order of about 47% since that low. So believe it or not, the Australian market is broadly the same as where it started the year. It's still a little bit off the highs, but an incredible recovery. US market's something like 12 or 13% higher. So we know that it's all driven by the stimulus, the Federal Reserve, the Reserve Bank, and the big fiscal stimulus that we've seen. You know, in Australia, we've got federal deficits of over $300 billion. So a huge amount of stimulus going into the economy, combined with our pretty good outcome on COVID and our economies coming back, Victoria opening up, you know, we've got a very strong growth and the share market's starting to show through that. Earnings are coming back and we expect earnings next year to be pretty good and a really strong earnings rebound in the US in 2021. US earnings fell from $170 to about $130, should bounce back to $170, $175 next year, which would put pretty good growth on the market. And at reasonable multiples, you'd probably see something in the order of a 15 to 20% increase in the US equity market next year.
James right there, the Chief Investment Officer at Sayers. Now, let's take a closer look at iron ore and expand on that, because the rising price in the commodity will have some major implications. Economists are expecting upward revisions to the federal government's budget in next week's mid-year economic and fiscal outlook, and one contributing factor will be that rising iron ore price, which has hit a near eight-year high, just above $150 a ton. That's way above what Treasury was estimating at $55. The Commonwealth Bank said today that swing should see tax receipts boosted by around $2 billion this financial year. What's behind the increase and can it continue? Here is Craig James, the Chief Economist at CommSec.
Well, fundamental to the rise in the iron ore price is the fact that the Chinese economy is already in recovery mode. Now, a lot of other major economies aren't at that point yet, so the fact that China is recovering significantly, demand for infrastructure, that means, you know, sort of steel making, commodities like iron ore and coke and coal remain in demand. The other side of the equation is the sorts of supplies that they get in from Brazil have been constrained by COVID, so that's affecting the overall situation as well. So it's been super strong demand out of China, a lack of supply coming through, particularly our competitors, you know, sitting in terms of Brazil. And really, that demand for iron ore is likely to ramp up even further if we look into 2021. Because what we would expect is that economies in Europe and the United States will also be focusing on infrastructure, creating the demand for steel, and therefore creating the demand for the raw materials such as iron ore and coking coal.
Craig James there from CommSec, and that rising iron ore price is also taking the Australian dollar with it, because the Chinese need to buy it with Australian dollars. The Aussie buying around 74.71 US, and some economists say that the level of 75 US is the tipping point where the brakes are applied to the Australian economy. So no doubt we'll take a closer look at that tomorrow, if indeed that's what happens. That is SBS On The Money for this Thursday, the 10th of December 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BusinessRicardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.